Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
Thanks for joining us. You are listening to episode 102 of the Indigenous Vision Podcast. My name is Melissa. I am here with Suta Collinglast. We are pretty much the brains behind Indigenous Vision. How are you?
That's correct. I'm doing good. I am kind of combating this first round of colds that's coming around. School just started last week, and I don't know if we got the cold from school or from work or from the basketball court. We
sounds played like a combo hard.
Yeah, it could be. But I'm doing good. I've been reading into some of the more local to Missoula history for the Blackfoot place map that I'm working on. And it's so funny, well, terribly funny, that each one of the, because I do keyword searches, and so I'll keyword search something like Bitterroot or the mountain range that I'm looking at, artifact, the tribe name, that usually pulls up dozens and dozens of articles that are usually anthropological reviews or ethnographic report type things, like really old documents. And I read through several archaeological papers over the weekend that ended in the Bitterroot Valley was home to the Salish and the Nez Perce and the Blackfeet. And then a couple of those would say, and sometimes the Crow. I just think it was funny. Like there's no, on this side, it's pretty, the narrative that people who know history know this as a Salish Valley, right? But there is this East Missoula Hellgate Canyon site, and then straight down the Bitterroot Valley to Salmon, Idaho is another site that's known where the French trapper got in a fight with the Blackfeet war party, and he vowed never to trap in Blackfeet country again. And I'm sure we were like, yeah, because we didn't like trappers. Our obligations to the water animals and the water people, the Sweetabeaks we call them, was like our reason to war. And so yeah, I took a hike in those mountains, and I've been reading more papers in those areas and losing myself there. It's really fun and exciting. How have you been?
I've been really well. Thank you. I also did a little bit of adventuring over here in these parts, specifically in the Fort Mojave region, which is just southeast of Las Vegas, the Nuuvi Valley. And I got to explore a little bit of the Black Mountains, which is where a historic old town and historic Route 66 passes through. And probably the reddest town I've ever seen in my life. Bought a couple candies, but the location of this old town that has this history of like hundreds of years ago and these old standing buildings was pretty neat. And it's a town that has a donkey as a mayor. His name's Walter. And the donkeys are like this herd that's well kept by the townspeople, and they just walk the streets of the town, and they have the right of way to everything. So you're not allowed to pass them. They like to come up to you, and you can tell that they're very a well kept herd because their fur was super nice. Like they just looked different from the burros that I'm used to seeing out here in the rugged like desert. So it was really cool to see a town that was all about the burros and the donkeys and then the mayor Walter. And it's just, it was really cool. Like it was a really interesting afternoon with a friend of mine, and I got to see some amazing views, came across a random cemetery on a cliff, and it was like the most beautiful, peaceful, scenic, quiet place I've ever got to just hang out for a few minutes. And then I came back to the madness that is Las Vegas. And now I'm here, you know, getting ready for hopefully the end of summer and monsoon season, heading into like a new season. We don't really get fall here. We just get temperatures coming down. No trees change colors. We don't have any foliage like that. So it really is just a matter of temperatures coming down so that people can come out of their dwellings and like do things during the middle of the day, like go hiking.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so excited for that.
I remember when I lived in Phoenix or like Glendale, like more proper, I would joke and laugh to myself when they turn the sprinklers off right around September or October. And I It's like simulating fall. They turn the sprinklers off. They let the grass turn brown. But some people just water year round and the grass grows year round.
Yeah, it's a real waste of water to try and keep your grass green in the desert. Like, what is the point?
And so, yeah, simulating seasons was something I always like to giggle at, but it's different. I love monsoon season. If you ever get a chance to see a torrential rain in the desert, like the smell, I think is my favorite part of that. And then that color, my favorite color, the dark gray in the sunshine.
There was one on my birthday and it came at night. So I got to spend my birthday evening just watching this insane storm. And then I thought it was over, but I was just out a couple minutes ago and there's a one brewing. So there's going to be another monsoon. So I guess the meteorologist was right. They do go into September. So hopefully this is the last round of them because I am really looking forward to going out into the mountains and not having to worry about flash flooding because it's been fatal this year, like really bad. The flooding is brutal.
Yeah, flooding, flash floodings and those arroyos can suddenly fill up with water, even though you don't see a single cloud in sight. The storm can be over the mountain and all of a sudden here comes a wall of water. You just hear, I've been taught to listen for a roaring sound. So if I hear a sound that sounds like wind or rumbling, then to get up high, especially because some of the hikes that, down by South Mountain, those little river, dry riverbeds were washes were the funnest part to walk.
Totally. So I'm just preparing for a new season is pretty much what I'm doing. And like I was just I always come across the old farmer's almanac whenever I'm at the grocery store. Like I still can't believe that those are being sold because I've been seeing them since I was like alive. And
Right.
apparently this winter, for all y'all folks up in the north, it's going to be a very snowy winter.
That's what I saw too. I follow a meteorologist and they released a prediction map of the United States, and I'm right in the mild and snowy section. So I think on this side of the mountains I'll be okay, but it's going to be cold and snowy on the east side of the mountains.
And
So
according to this article, there's already a polar vortex forming in the North Pole that's going to hit, I guess, when the year changes from 2023 to 2024. So the July, I mean, the January, February months sound like they're going to be extremely bitter.
oh dear. I was just looking at the calendar because we're getting ready to go out and run the working dogs again. And last year we had our first snow the second week of October. And so the snow seemed to come really early. And usually when I was a kid growing up, it came on Halloween and we were always wearing snowsuits. Yeah. But in my calendar today, I just have the prompt shacking up. What the heck was I thinking?
Well,
Like,
because apparently, according to the Urban Dictionary, we are on the brink of cuffing season. And that's usually when the months turn colder in the year, like fall or winter, when new relationships start and old relationships turn into engagements. For some reason, it's this time of the year. The persons in the said relationships are cuffed, meaning that they no longer seek non-platonic relationships with others. So, what does that mean for like someone like me, though, someone who's single? I guess it means lowering your standards and settling for someone over the winter months, which is definitely not in my forecast personally. But I do see some people kind of get that silly vibe and joke about stuff like that.
I do. I get cold, and that's what must have been on my mind when we were like making the schedule, because I was cold, and then I thought about it for a minute, or and maybe a day passed, and I adjusted my vitamins, and I'm really low on iron.
Oh, dear Suta.
So I was cold, and I was considering getting shacked up.
Get a heated blanket. I've survived so many winters and I have never deteriorated into like shacked up with some rando for the winter because it's
My goodness.
cuffing season, but it is the unofficial, cuddle season coming up. And depending on whatever your status is, that could be anything. It could be with your kids, or in my case, the kitty cats. And luckily, I run warm. I've always been a really warm person. If I'm feeling cool or cold, I am not well. And I usually haven't eaten or I'm just overly tired and need to go into the bed. That's the only time.
That's all thyroid symptoms too, is being exhausted and needing more rest.
Rest. And especially when I don't eat, I find that my body is like, where's the stuff that makes me go?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like an overly dramatic pet that needs to be fed when I'm hungry.
Yeah, eating warm foods helps, you know, like the foods that make heat instead of like cool foods. I don't know if that's a real thing. Is that Ayurvedic, where I've heard like warm generating foods and cool foods?
I'm not familiar with Ayurvedic. I don't know. But I do know that there are people who run cold, because I've had plenty of like kid friends when I was younger. We'd go to the lake and they would all have blue lips. And I was like, I've never been a child with blue lips. I'm not a blue-lipped freezing child. So that's how I knew I always ran warm.
I think I'm just temperature sensitive, because I used to get heat exhaustion when I was little and get these really, really bad bloody noses. And then I'm cold now. I run cold, but I think it's vitamins, it's iron, it's my thyroid. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it for sure. But cuffing season, I'm sort of immune to it.
Me too. I think so. I think I'm happy on my own. I like not checking in with anybody for the most part. I mean, I have to check in with my son's father, and yes, sometimes I get a nope, can't do that, or something along that lines. But for the most part, I really like the freedom in my life, the unrestricted, unquestioned. There's nobody ruining my coffee hour in the morning.
Wow.
there's nobody. Yeah, there's no the none of the I just haven't had really good relationship experiences. And so, yeah, you can do good in a bunch of parts of life, but not some parts.
I think the idea is to have a great coffee hour with said person in the morning, not have it ruined by said person.
Right. I know. And I have a friend getting out of a relationship right now and she's upset, you know, and I've gone through it. That your coffee hour, your day's ruined by like 8, 9 a.m. Somebody's upset and there's bitterness and bickering. That's just awful. I mean, I feel really bad for people who are in relationships like that. And I couldn't do it. It was the ultimatum. Like, I love you, but what's happening between us is like killing me. So I gotta make peace, you know, I gotta make my peaceful environment. And so, yeah, I don't think I'm too cold to get shacked up and ruin my peace.
That's hilarious. Neither am I. I am someone who loves being on my own, and to a point where people don't understand. And I don't care if I don't understand either, but I've seen a lot of people chase other people around. And I think, I don't know, is it attachment? Is it love? I don't know what they're craving. Maybe it's because I grew up loved my whole life. I don't chase to get that void filled or something, but I do see it a lot. And I do understand the want for the winter seasons, because you can't really just wander around in the winter. We can't spend our time how we've spent it in the summer. Like, it's really lockdown season. I've spent 34 winters in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and each one was like, so it always felt so restrictive, and felt caged into this one area. And I would do whatever I possibly could to like save up money to kind of escape it and come to a warmer climate zone, which was very rare because of my situation. But maybe, I don't know, cuff up with someone who's got a lot of money and then you guys can fly out to somewhere tropical. I don't know what advice to give anybody.
Right? Talk about confusing people. You know how Facebook dating gives you the ads of find someone special?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. For the whole past year, mine has been, well, at first I was getting a find someone special and it'll show a male and a female figure. And then for the last year, it was find someone special and it was two girls embracing each other. And finally Facebook or Meta gave up and said, find somebody special. And they put a dog bone and a record in a heart. And I'm like, there you go. It's getting closer.
I swear, the way it listens is so creepy. One time I was talking about metal guys, and then sure enough, an ad for like metal singles popped up. And I was like, What is this?
Amazing. It's so
I'm officially
amazing.
Sworn off the dating apps, by the way. That is confirmed.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm done.
I did.
I'm done.
I downloaded Bumble, and then I downloaded Tinder, and then I found out Tinder was just the hookup one of the dating apps. Like, we didn't have this conversation.
Right? It's so aggressive on there.
We should have had this conversation, because I didn't realize that men were, and people were putting themselves, like, I've heard about it, but I actually got to scroll through real profiles now. And so, yeah, it's not for me. I had an anxiety attack looking at it and thinking about it. So, yeah, I'm really an emotional connection person. I need to be, yeah.
It is so terrible on there. Like, what I used to do in the past is, like, just browse with a friend of mine. We'd browse each other's, like, areas and just crack up at some of the profiles, because it was just so over the top. Some of these people, some of their profile pictures, what they're looking for. And then, I don't know, I've met up with a couple of people off Tinder who were genuinely not trying to hook up, at least what they said. And it just didn't work out. And it was fine. I've tried Bumble. I know that there's Bumble for friends where you can actually look for just friends, right? Like platonic. Mm-hmm. And then I've tried Hinge, which was really weird. It felt like I was in, like, a Canva style professional. It was like, it felt like LinkedIn meets Tinder, kind of all meshed together. It was really strange and I didn't like it. Everything just seemed overly, like, edited.
Interesting. Everything seemed fake to me. Like, I didn't believe the pictures. And then some of them, I was, like, really flat out surprised. Like, why are guys taking pictures of themselves at this angle? It's not even an inappropriate picture. It's just, like, the angles that you joke about, like the double chin angle, like just the unflattering angles. And I'm like, huh, you know,
want to keep it real, real. Like, how about I look my worst so she thinks I look great when she meets me?
That's funny. I always get asked out or, like, complimented and asked if I'm a single way when I feel and look my worst, usually. Shaggy sweatpants, didn't put any effort in. But it's nice. Like, I don't know if I look approachable, and, like, right now when I'm dressed, I'm intimidating.
Weird.
I know, right? Weird. Right? Feeling bad. I was feeling bad about myself, like, for wanting to be, for that moment of weakness, of wanting to be shacked up. Actually, you know, the sweet things too, like having somebody make my coffee or make me breakfast, or having the ability to do that for somebody else, and, you know, cuddling. Like, and my son's getting older. He's not, it's like, he doesn't cuddle like a baby anymore. So, I know. So I was feeling bad for a second. And then I realized, you know, I think it's trauma and it's mistrust, and we're in a weird time. And I don't know if humans are actually, you know, individual solo animals. And so I'm not feeling something that's not unnatural. I'm feeling something that's very natural. I'm motherly. I like taking care of people. That's what makes me happy. Because I was feeling bad about being codependent, right? Like, down on myself and trying to undo it and talk about how it's okay to be individual and independent and not reliant on the negative things that codependency makes you, like how in a toxic codependency relationship, they determine your feelings and can determine your day. And that's not okay when you let somebody else set your worth or, you know, determine if your day is good or bad. But then I was thinking, I don't think there's ever been a time in history where people have been as independent as we are now. We've always been communal, village, clan, codependent people. And so, yeah, I get, but I guess there is, like, that tipping point, right? Where you can go codependent in that toxic or leeching way that just drains people of all their energy and is not reciprocal. I guess that's it. The reciprocal part of it, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Like, I've had friends that came on a little too strong, and I've had to be like, that's a little too close for me, too fast, like a codependent friendship person. Right. And I've had to, unfortunately, set a boundary with some people and be like, that's too much for me. Because it was they're like putting out. And I'm like, I don't think this is a deep enough relationship for me to be putting out that much in this friendship, right? Sometimes that's how it is, right? And we can have codependent relationships with anybody. I don't know if you've seen the movie Renfield, but he is Dracula's helper. Nicolas Cage plays Dracula, and he goes to codependent like AA meetings. And he's like, I'm in a codependent toxic relationship. He doesn't say who it's with though. So, and everyone's just really supportive of him and really helping him. But he's been, you know, he's trapped in this relationship with Dracula for like over 100 years, and it's just toxic. And it's a really good film that's all about just breaking those codependency patterns, like keep going around and around and just breaking off and becoming your own person and finally finding like the right balance with someone else.
I can't imagine being undead and in a toxic codependent
relationship. Like after like 80 years, he finds a help support group because it's so bad. It's hilarious.
It's funny. Okay, it's on my watch list now as soon as I get this grant report in and put together.
Oh, it's good. I think Oni will love it. It's pretty gory for Halloween, but it's like, I think it's kid approved, but I'm not a parent, so what do I know?
He likes killer clowns from outer space, and that's pretty like, so I'm realizing a lot of the stuff I showed my 6-year-old that I watched when I was 6-year-old in the 80s is really inappropriate, but I didn't get any of it because it's like watching a Disney movie now, and you know how Disney puts bad jokes and phallic symbols and everything, but you don't get it because you're a kid. Yeah, that's what killer clowns from outer space is like. Some of these other like classic movies, I won't show him any of the John Waters. Oh my god, that's not even appropriate for a teenager.
No.
But yes, I saw that he's gonna be in Vegas for Christmas.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go to that, and then he's getting a walk of a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame like this week. And then there's like this exhibit of all of his work that's going to be there for a year. So I'm going to go check that out too in LA.
Wow. I think that film or that set of films, it's kind of like the, what's that one? The zombie, the old zombie movies, Night of the Living Dead and the
right.
type stuff. Those series, the John Waters series, there's a couple other movies in there, you know, with Hatchet Face and all of those.
Crybaby.
Yeah, Crybaby. Yeah. Those are pretty classic. And I think they did a lot, now that I think about it, for the LGBTQ community and the trans community, because that wasn't, to me, I don't know. I watched those when I was like 16 or 17. And it was like, I felt like I was doing something naughty. But
isn't
I watched
crazy?
It
how
is.
Queer culture was so underground in the
80s. Yes, but it's like, it's daringly sexy and embracing it. And I think I liked it because we're taught to be ashamed of our bodies. And it's a human body. Like everybody
right?
has one. And it's only sexualized by, you know, sexualization. Like, yeah, that's what I was wondering. I could dress, sometimes I really try hard. Like I identify a lot with Jessica Rabbit, and when she says the line, like, I was just drawn like this. Like I can try to put on my soccer mom dress and be a soccer mom, and I'll be like, this is so appropriate. And then I'll post a picture, and then somebody messages me, so sexy. And I'm like, oh, I was going for soccer mom.
Hey, you're a sexy soccer mom, I guess.
I know, right? But I don't know. Like and then also too, I guess I was feeling this subject because something in that transition of the moon made the exes come back.
And Venus retrograde. I was having dreams of my exes. I was like, what is going on? Why am I dreaming of, like, lovingly dreaming of this person?
Really?
Yeah.
So you went back to your ex lovingly in your dream.
In the dream world.
Yeah.
Nobody reached out though, thank goodness. And nobody tried to contact, but it was all in my dreams. And it was just when Venus, the planet of love, went into retrograde. And that's apparently what stirred up everything since July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
According to the humans.
Yes, somebody I haven't been with like was like, you could save money. I could save money if I move in with you. And I'm like, no. And it's not even a relationship like that. We get along, but we don't get along, right?
Right.
So it's like it was a really crazy and sudden question to get. And I
That's
didn't know
someone
what to think about
acting
it.
on their moment of weakness and actually acting on it.
And then I got followed on Instagram by somebody I had a restraining order on at one point in time. No hard feelings and resentment now, but I mean, I
Just
don't
stop
know.
being
Like,
creepy.
it's just surveillance, just watching. And then I got a couple of messages from, people who are longtime friends on Facebook who have been liking stuff like this. And, they don't say things like, "Hey, you're looking cute," or "What you're doing is so interesting," or I don't know, whatever kind of pickup line. But the pickup line they're using is, "You're going to be my wife someday. You don't know it yet, but you'll know when we meet in person." And it's kind of offensive because, like, this person will say this to me occasionally, and it felt overwhelming a couple weeks ago because a couple of them came and plus those other things, and it's like, what the heck is going on with the world? But it also then made me upset because, like, I'm out here making rent, paying for my vehicle, like, also paying my medical bills for my stress-related chronic health issues that are like made worse by, unhelping men who have temper tantrums. I don't know. Is this too much for
No. First of
the
all, those people are not your
podcast?
friend if they're sending you messages like that, wanting
Yeah.
dominance over you. That's low-key misogyny. Like,
Yeah.
they're not friends.
And then here I am buying my own coffees and paying my own rent, and everybody, so there's like a person out there pretty sure that I'll be his wife. Where are you paying? Where are you making my life easier today if you're so sure, like last year?
Right? Like, what does that
So
mean?
then,
Oh, you're going to
no,
be my
yeah.
wife. Like, I'm going to own you. Is that what that
Right,
means?
right. I had a dream about it. I had a dream about it, and this is how it's going to be. And
Wow.
I respect dreams, but I might also, embody a caring mother figure too, as well, because I'm a Cancer woman, astrologically, and I care for people. And it's funny how that lines up with my natural character and my astrology. But
Listen to me, I'm like full Virgo mode. I'm like,
I
I got all the facts and analyzations going.
know, and I'm humming and hawing about emotions.
I'm like, don't get got, everybody.
And here I am the one who gets got because you hear me talking about my feelings.
You won't get got this year. I can feel it.
Not this year. And I'm excited about winter. I have my snow pants and my snow shoes and my ice cleats ready and
Ooh.
my snow tires, and I have 600 pounds of sandbags.
Right? Who can match that? I have these beautiful black wrap mukluks, thanks to you for the birthday gift. And I'm going to go up to Mount Charleston when it snows and put them to use in the snow.
I love those, and they're so beautiful. And I was worried about like usability, but you're an Anishinaabe, and you need them.
Anishinaabe.
Yeah, the babe part, and you need them. And it gets really cold, and because St. George is what, 12, 15 miles out of town,
Yeah.
about 17. Yeah, I remember one year I drove up through Kingman, Vegas, St. George, then to Montana. I pulled over at some place in St. George to sleep in my car because I had a car set up then. And I froze and I woke up and it was all snowy out and it looked so cool because Mount Zion is there. Or is it Mount Zion National Park? And those orange rocks look amazing with white cap snow on them. It was beautiful, but
Wow.
definitely needed snow boots and winter stuff. And so you're not far from it.
I'm prepared for all seasons out here in the Las Vegas Valley, including cuffing season. Good luck. Good luck out there. Thanks for checking out the Indigenous Vision podcast presented by Indigenous Vision. We are an educational nonprofit based out of Arizona and Montana, and this is our official podcast. This is just one of the projects that we do have going on. If you would like to explore more of what we do, visit our website, indigenousvision.org. You can also sign up for our cultural humility training that's coming up this October 17th. All are welcome to attend. Again, thank you for listening to the IV Podcast.